Welcome to Export Stories, a podcast featuring first-person insights from the wide and sometimes crazy world of U.S. exporting. Your host for Export Stories is Betsy Olam, president of Olam International, a U.S.-based export management company. Betsy has made a 37-year career of developing global sales and distribution for U.S. companies. Like you, she loves great stories. You don't have to be an exporter to enjoy the stories we're going to share with you each month. We're so glad you've joined us. Now, here is Betsy to introduce today's podcast.
Hello, ciao, bonjour, hola, konnichiwa, ni hao, marhaban, namaste, and shalom. Welcome to Export Stories 2024. I'm your host, Betsy Olam. This is year number 6, and we have already logged some 50 episodes. How about them apples, huh? Kind of cool. So now I'm very excited about today's guest. He's going to share some very valuable financial information for exporters. Peter Clement is the Senior Vice President for International Financing at Rosenthal and Rosenthal Inc., with headquarters in New York, New York. Peter specializes in providing expertise in trade finance for international corporations. In this role, he's responsible for the continuous growth and retention of the trade finance sales channels for North America. What exporter does not need some kind of financial assistance to grow their export program, such as international factoring? That's a rhetorical question. Peter's going to walk us through non-bank financing 101 and tell us about the types of options and services they offer. But first, a word from our wonderful sponsor, who happens to be Rosenthal & Rosenthal. We are so fortunate to have Rosenthal & Rosenthal as our sponsor for today's episode of Export Stories podcast. They are extremely valuable to the export community. Let me explain. Rosenthal & Rosenthal is the leading factoring, asset-based lending, purchase order financing, D2C, and e-commerce inventory financing firm in the United States. They began as a family business back in 1938 and are still a family business today. For more than 85 years, they've been empowering entrepreneurs and financing businesses across multiple industries by providing the working capital and resources companies need to grow and compete in today's marketplace. With unmatched financial capacity and decades of experience, Rosenthal remains best in class for all your creative financing needs. Rosenthal's export factoring program is a liquidity and risk mitigation tool that allows sellers to get paid at shipment on international sales. Sellers can receive up to 90% of the invoice value, less a small discount at shipment of goods. Rosenthal purchases invoices on a non-recourse basis, meaning the sellers don't bear the risk of buyer non-payment. More and more businesses are struggling to meet their banking covenants due to the impact that COVID, supply chain issues, and labor shortages have had on their sales. It's Rosenthal's opinion that more businesses will continue to seek non-bank financing solutions, and they expect a very active 2024. Rosenthal is proud to have been appointed by EXIM as a delegated authority lender. They are excited to work with exporters across the country to provide non-bank financing solutions to help grow their company internationally. Please visit them at rosenthalinc.com. So, without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce Peter. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Betsy. Thanks for having me.
Great to have this conversation. So, first of all, would love it if you could tell us a little bit about your background story and how eventually came to your, you know, present position with Rosenthal & Rosenthal.
Sure. I spent about 20 years on the trade credit insurance side with one of the largest carriers in the world. I've had a relationship indirectly with Rosenthal for the better part of those 20 years. And they identified international financing as a need in the market. And the opportunity arose for them to further develop this division. it was sort of a perfect match.
Cool. That's great. That's great. So Rosenthal and Rosenthal has been around for some time and is a well-recognized name in the international factory business. We'd love to hear more about the company's history.
So Rosenthal and Rosenthal is the largest, oldest non-bank financing company in the U.S. We were founded in 1938 and are now led by the third generation of the Rosenthal family. Our offering includes factoring, asset-based lending, PO financing, and direct-to-consumer e-commerce inventory lending.
So you refer to your offerings as non-bank financing and Rosenthal and Rosenthal as a non-bank lender. Can you really explain a little bit more what that means and how it differs from a traditional bank?
Simply put, it means that we do not have a depository relationship with our clients. Mm-hmm. Rosenthal is a collateralized lender, securing accounts receivable and or inventory, mm-hmm. and providing loans against those assets.
Are you competitors or allies with traditional banks?
Great question. From a perception standpoint, I think the market views banks and non-banks as competitors. But Rosenthal actually has relationships with over 30 banks over our 85-year history. We get a lot of referrals from banks because they're interested in securing the depository or FX relationship. Mm-hmm. For instance, if a company is in default of its banking covenants and the bank is no longer willing to provide a loan to that company, mm-hmm. but of course they don't want to lose the entire relationship, they would bring in a company like Rosenthal, who they've dealt with, again, for many years, knowing that the client will be properly serviced and in good hands.
Okay, okay. Are there any risks for a bank to work with a non-bank lender? And can you give some examples of how you have worked with, you know, banks in the past?
Risks, not really, because keep in mind that non-banks are in place to provide facilities for companies that have been turned down by traditional banks. And again, we don't have that depository treasury FX relationship. So there's always a need for the bank to be and stay in place.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's talk about international factoring. Can you share with us the benefits of it? And can you break down the services you provide? I mean, you mentioned them a minute ago, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So first and foremost, I think credit information is invaluable, right? Especially in today's market. So we let the client know how much we think they should extend on open terms to these companies. And then and by that, we're providing them with credit advice. Rosenthal's export factoring program is a liquidity and risk mitigation tool that allows exporters to be paid at shipment on international sales. So sellers can receive up to 90% of the invoice value, less a small discount at the shipment of goods. Rosenthal is purchasing these invoices on a non-recourse basis, meaning the seller doesn't bear the risk of non-payment by the buyer.
Besides banks, what other types of businesses do you work with?
Rosenthal works with trade credit insurance brokers, trade finance brokers, mm-hmm. accountants, consultants, etc. Those who know their clients are struggling to secure traditional financing are the ones that bring Rosenthal these opportunities.
And of course, you know, the EXIM Bank exists to assist exporters, but, you know, what is your relationship with the EXIM Bank and how do customers, you know, take advantage of both?
Sure. So I know EXIM quite well from my credit insurance days. Mm-hmm. To your point, EXIM is in place to basically support U.S. exporters. Rosenthal is proud to say that last April, we were appointed as a delegated authority lender of EXIM on the working capital side. Mm-hmm. And what that means is EXIM will guarantee any loans that Rosenthal puts into the market. So we're leveraging the company's accounts receivable, and in this case, now their inventory here in the States that's purpose for selling abroad.
It's so great to let exporters know how many options there are out there to help them avoid risk. So that's very cool that they can use EXIM Bank as well. All right, I'm going to change the topic for a minute. With events in the world, such as the Israeli-Gaza conflict and the Ukraine war, how does such instability in the world, and we have, you know, this plenty of examples now. How does such instability in the world affect international finance from, y'all's perspective?
Of course, when you have any disruption, it causes suppliers and buyers to find new partners.
Yeah.
And while we're able to always give credit advice on these new relationships, mm-hmm. it may deter us from financing some of the transactions because there's no trading history between these partners.
Okay. I see. Okay. Now is the time where, we'd love for you to share some, real world stories from your business experience that will help us, better visualize what you do and how you help your customers.
One of the recent success stories is a client that manufactures anti-wicking chemicals for the apparel industry. Mm-hmm. So post-COVID, they were struggling with sales and unfortunately incurred losses.
Yeah.
One of our partnering banks, unfortunately, was unwilling to continue lending to the company because they were in default.
Okay.
And 50% of the company's portfolio was foreign receivables as they were selling all over the world. Wow. Including into South America, Western Europe, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia.
Okay.
So the bank knew of Rosenthal's international appetite, so they brought us in. Not only was the bank able to keep their depository relationship, but Rosenthal was able to step in and offer the company a new facility, actually tripling their previous facility by making these foreign receivables eligible.
Wow, that's impressive. the way I love to end our podcast is with something more local in your world. You live in Northwest New Jersey. Can you tell us about some of your favorite sites or destinations that you would recommend to visitors, such as international visitors?
So I've only been here for just about 3 years. I actually moved during COVID.
Okay.
And everyone told me there was this one restaurant I had to visit, and it's called the Walpack Inn. It's okay. located in Walpack, New Jersey, uh-huh. which, if you're familiar with the area, is very close to the Delaware River.
Okay, nice. Nice area.
So the town of Walpack is basically deserted. I believe their population is less than 10.
Oh.
So with the exception of this restaurant.
Yeah.
So the restaurant's been around since 1949, so almost as old as Rosenthal, but not quite.
Yeah.
Patrons come from 90 miles to experience this restaurant. I mean, not only is the food great, yeah. but you also feel like you're eating in the scene out of Dirty Dancing.
That sounds like a great atmosphere. What kind of food?
It's typical American food. So your meats, your pasta, they have a phenomenal salad bar.
Yeah.
And I guess, the rest of the story is the government intended to build a dam. So they bought almost 100 acres of land. And for whatever reason, they came to the conclusion that the dam couldn't be built. But all the land was basically bought and never resold. So wow. you're talking about 10,000 people who were displaced. It makes for a pretty interesting ride through the town because you'll see abandoned churches, businesses, the post office with nobody around the miles.
That's so weird. It sounds like the Wild West a little bit, but well, I hope people in the area will check it out. It sounds fascinating. So
yeah, if you happen to make that trek, I would say definitely to make a reservation. They're only open okay. on weekends, and it's not easy to get a seat. And I okay. think that's a testament to how good the food is.
And the name of it again is?
This is the Walpack Inn.
The Walpack Inn. Okay. Great. Oh, this was fun. Listen, I really enjoyed our discussion today. And, I'm so grateful to you, Peter, for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you, Betsy. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Of course. Well, to our listeners, we'd love to get a conversation going about this episode, as well as, general discussions about exporting. So, that's what we're about. So please reach out to me on exportstoriespodcast.com, where all of our current and past podcasts are available. I'll be posting web information about Rosenthal and Rosenthal. And, you can ask questions or post comments on the episode page. We're also on Facebook and LinkedIn. We're creating and have created a community of exporters here. So please let your voice be heard. Thanks again to Peter and to all of our listeners.
Thank you so much for listening to Export Stories. Perhaps you have a good export story that you would like to share with us or a comment about today's podcast. You can send your ideas and comments to our website at exportstoriespodcast.com or to Betsy Olam on LinkedIn. Subscribe to our newsletter at exportstoriespodcast.com so we can alert you of upcoming episodes and share resources with you. We're building a community of export storytellers, so please share this podcast with your friends who have interest in exporting.